You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Mindset. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on Mindset, the new psychology of success. How we can learn to fulfill our potential by Carol S. Dweck, PhD. As always, we'll kick it off with a quote. In this book, you'll learn how a simple belief about yourself, a belief we discovered in our research, guides a large part of your life. In fact, it permeates every part of your life. Much of what may be preventing you from fulfilling your potential grows out of it. No book has ever explained this mindset and shown people how to make use of it in their lives. You'll suddenly understand the greats in the sciences and arts, in sports, in business, and the would-have-beens. You'll understand your mate, your boss, your friends, your kids. You'll see how to unleash your potential and your children's. End quote. That is Carol S. Dweck from Mindset. So Carol S. Dweck is one of the leading researchers in the field of motivation and is a renowned professor at Stanford University. In her great book, Mindset, she employs rigorous science to help us understand why we do what we do. Specifically, she tells us how we can move from what she calls a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. The difference? With a fixed mindset, our self-worth is on the line with everything we do, and failure is something to avoid at all costs. With a growth mindset, on the other hand, we embrace challenging opportunities because we know that we can only reach our highest potential by consistently playing at our edges, that the only failure is not really going for it and learning along the way. The distinction between these two mindsets is huge, and this book is packed with wisdom on how we can shift our mindsets and create more authentically awesome lives. So, how about we take a quick look at a few of my favorite big ideas from this great book? We will start with a little more mojo on fixed mindset versus growth mindset. Quote, for 20 years, my research has shown that the view you adopt for yourself profoundly affects the way you lead your life. It can determine whether you become the person you want to be and whether you accomplish the things you value. How does this happen? How can a simple belief have the power to transform your psychology and, as a result, your life? End quote. The book is all about answering this question. How can a simple belief have the power to transform your psychology and, as a result, your life? Let's start by taking a quick look at how Dr. Dweck describes the two different mindsets we can adapt. First, the fixed mindset. She says, quote, believing that your qualities are carved in stone, the fixed mindset, creates an urgency to prove yourself over and over. If you have only a certain amount of intelligence, a certain personality, and a certain moral character, well then, you'd better prove that you have a healthy dose of them. It simply wouldn't do to look or feel deficient in these most basic characteristics. End quote. That's the fixed mindset. We're going to explore more on how that mindset can get us in a lot of trouble. For now, let's take a quick look at the growth mindset. Dweck says, quote, in this mindset, the hand you're dealt is just the starting point for development. The growth mindset is based on the belief that your basic qualities are things you can cultivate through your efforts. Although people may differ in every which way, in their initial talents and aptitudes, interests, or temperaments, everyone can change and grow through application and experience. End quote. In short, the fixed mindset believes that we're born with a certain amount of mojo. You've either got it or you don't. Every situation you face from the fixed mindset perspective is basically a test of whether you've got it. When we live from that place, we live with a lot of fear of screwing up and looking like an idiot. We try less stuff and enjoy our lives a lot less. Eek. The growth mindset, on the other hand, is grounded in the idea that what we're born with is just a starting point. With diligent, patient, persistent effort, or as Dweck calls it, years of passion, toil, and training, we can, over the long run, develop an extraordinary amount of mojo. Fixed mindset versus growth mindset. Powerful stuff. That leads us to the next big idea. Years of passion plus toil plus training. Quote, do people with this mindset believe that anyone can be anything? That anyone with proper motivation or education can become an Einstein or Beethoven? No, but they believe that a person's true potential is unknown and unknowable, that it's impossible to foresee what can be accomplished with years of passion, toil, and training. End quote. So, the point here isn't that we can do anything. It's that our potential is unknown and, as Dweck tells us, unknowable, and that the only way we can even begin to see what we're capable of is to put in years of passion, toil, and training. Now, a person with a fixed mindset would never even consider putting in that much hard work because A, they need to be able to show results immediately and would interpret any potential failure to produce extraordinary results the first time out as proof that they're an idiot, and B, the whole idea of even having to work hard would be a sign that they must not be great. Living with the growth mindset, on the other hand, we know that it's only through years and years of hard work that we can start to tap our potential. Dweck puts it brilliantly. She says, quote, when you enter a mindset, you enter a new world. In one world, the world of fixed traits, success is about proving you're smart or talented, validating yourself. In the other, the world of changing qualities, it's about stretching yourself to learn something new, developing yourself. In one world, failure is about having a setback, getting a bad grade, losing a tournament, getting fired, getting rejected. It means you're not smart or talented. In the other world, failure is about not growing, not reaching for things you value. It means you're not fulfilling your potential. In one world, effort is a bad thing. It, like failure, means you're not smart or talented. If you were, you wouldn't need effort. In the other world, effort is what makes you smart or talented. You have a choice. Mindsets are just beliefs. They're powerful beliefs, but they're just something in your mind, and you can change your mind. End quote. Joseph Campbell comes to mind here. In The Power of Myth, see those notes, Campbell complements this idea brilliantly. I come back to this thought often as I remind myself of my own commitment to do great work over the long run. Campbell says, quote, when I taught in a boys' prep school, I used to talk to the boys who were trying to make up their minds as to what their careers were going to be. A boy would come to me and ask, do you think I can do this? Do you think I can do that? Do you think I can be a writer? Oh, I'd say, I don't know. Can you endure 10 years of disappointment with nobody responding to you? Or are you thinking that you are going to write a bestseller the first crack? If you have the guts to stay with the thing you really want, no matter what happens, well, go ahead. End quote. I love that. So how are you approaching your potential and your kids' potential and your colleagues' potential? From the fixed mindset, where any given performance is a sign of ultimate potential, or from the growth mindset, where you know that with diligent, patient, persistent, and playful work, we can do amazing things over the long run. Next big idea is genius is made, yo. Quote, Malcolm Gladwell, the author and New Yorker writer, has suggested that as a society, we value natural, effortless accomplishment over achievement through effort. We endow our heroes with superhuman abilities that lead them inevitably toward their greatness. It's as if Midori popped out of the womb fiddling, Michael Jordan dribbling, and Picasso doodling. This captures the fixed mindset perfectly, and it's everywhere. End quote. We live in a world that cherishes natural talent, put that in quotes, and that believes we're either born a genius or we've got no hope. But that's just not true. Period. As Dweck tells us, quote, do you know that Darwin and Tolstoy were considered ordinary children? That Ben Hogan, one of the greatest golfers of all time, was completely uncoordinated and graceless as a child? That the photographer Cindy Sherman, who has been on virtually every list of the most important artists of the 20th century, failed her first photography course? That Geraldine Page, one of the greatest actresses of our time, was advised to give it up for lack of talent. End quote. Love that. Dweck has a whole chapter on sports, the mindset of a champion, where she profiles a number of great athletes who were not naturals, from Muhammad Ali and Babe Ruth to Michael Jordan, Mia Hamm, and Jackie Joyner-Kersee. These athletes worked extremely hard. As Michael Gelb tells us in How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, check out the notes, genius is made, not born. So let's get to work on developing our genius and support others in engaging in the hard work it takes to rock it. All right, the next big idea is loving what we do. Quote, the growth-minded athletes, CEOs, musicians, or scientists all loved what they did, whereas many of the fixed-minded ones did not. Many growth-minded people didn't even plan to go to the top. They got there as a result of doing what they love. It's ironic. The top is where the fixed mindset people hunger to be, but it's where many growth-minded people arrive as a byproduct of their enthusiasm for what they do. This point is also crucial. In the fixed mindset, everything is about the outcome. If you fail or if you're not the best, it's all been wasted. The growth mindset allows people to value what they're doing regardless of the outcome. End quote. This is another theme we hit on often in these notes. Ayn Rand puts it this way in The Fountainhead. Check out the notes. Quote, you must be the kind of man who can get things done. But to get things done, you must love the doing, not the secondary consequences. End quote. While George Leonard, see notes on mastery, tells us that the path of the master, aka the ultimate learner, is so rich with opportunities for growth and enjoyment that, quote, for a master, the rewards gained along the way are fine, but they are not the main reason for the journey. Ultimately, the master and the master's path are one. And if the traveler is fortunate, that is, if the path is complex and profound enough, the destination is 2 miles farther away for every mile he or she travels. End quote. And finally, Tom Morris tells us this in his great book, True Success. Check out the notes. He says, quote, the happiest people in the world are people who love what they are doing, regardless of whether wealth, fame, power, and elevated social status ever come their way. The most fulfilled people are individuals who delight in their work, whatever it might be, and strive to do it well. End quote. Here's to loving what we do and embracing the opportunities to grow as we let the results come simply as byproducts of our dedication to giving our greatest gifts in greatest service to the world. Next big idea is feeling depressed? Put yourself in a growth mindset. Quote, how do you act when you feel depressed? Do you work harder at things in your life or do you let them go? Next time you feel low, put yourself in a growth mindset. Think about learning, challenging, confronting obstacles. Think about effort as a positive, constructive force, not as a big drag. Try it out. End quote. This is huge. First, I'm going to come back to an idea we talk about a lot in these notes. No one is happy all the time. We all have our ups and downs, and the sooner we embrace that, the better. No need to suffer our suffering by telling ourselves that we shouldn't be feeling funky, huh? Now, although our tendency to experience funky feelings don't ever completely go away, as we evolve and mature, our lows tend to be not quite as low, nor to last quite as long. One of the key ways to make sure we don't slide down the slippery slope of a funky moment or mood or hour or day into a depressed ick that lasts days, weeks, months, or years is to make sure that we hit our funk head on. If we crawl into a helpless little complaining ball, we're in trouble. But if we can courageously confront our challenges, we've got the opportunity to learn something about our behaviors that are working for us and which behaviors aren't, and we can do something about it. Side note here, I speak as an expert on this. I intimately know what it's like to go the wrong direction with a funk into depression, and it sucks. I'm also blessed to have some sensitive genes and less than stellar conditioning as a kid. My father was an alcoholic, and his father was an alcoholic who killed himself. All of that makes me super sensitive to how easily I can go sideways, which is one of the reasons why I'm so committed to doing the fundamental things that keep me healthy, from eating well, exercising regularly, working on my mindset pretty much all the time, etc. I know who I am when I don't pay attention to these things, and it's not pretty. Now, I like to proactively solve my potentially depressive moods in advance by taking care of myself. And when I feel funky, I know it's time for me to work even harder. So, if you're feeling funky, how are you approaching it? Are you avoiding challenges? If so, can you shift your perspective and get excited about what you can learn from your current obstacles as you commit to working hard at doing the things you know work for you? Specifically, we come back to this a lot. What's the number one thing you could start doing today that will have the most positive impact in your life? Think about that. What's the number one thing you could start doing today that will have the most positive impact in your life? If you need to press pause and think about it, do it. You got it? Sweet. Now get on it. Go rock that. And remember, the next big idea, embrace your failures. Quote, Michael Jordan embraced his failures. In fact, in one of his favorite ads for Nike, he says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. You can be sure that each time he went back and practiced the shot 100 times. End quote. Have you seen that Nike ad? If not, I highly recommend it. To watch it, you can check out the PDF. I've got a link to it in there. Or you can Google YouTube plus Jordan plus Nike plus failure and check it out. YouTube, Jordan, Nike, failure. Awesome, awesome video. Now, to repeat, the person with a fixed mindset sees failures as a sure sign that they're a moron. Most of the time, even the thought that we might fail and be found out leads to inaction from the fixed mindset. On the other hand, when we're living within the growth mindset, we see failure as an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to become a better person. So let's embrace our missteps and mistakes and grow. And how about some more growth mindset mojo on approaching failure? A few quotes here. John W. Gardner tells us, quote, we pay a heavy price for our fear of failure. It is a powerful obstacle to growth. It assures the progressive narrowing of the personality and prevents exploration and experimentation. There is no learning without some difficulty and fumbling. If you want to keep on learning, you must keep on risking failure all your life. End quote. Well, Teddy Roosevelt tells us this, quote, far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much, because they live in the gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. End quote. And George Bernard Shaw gives us this goodness, quote, when I was a young man, I observed that 9 out of 10 things I did were failures. I didn't want to be a failure, so I did 10 times more work. I love that. Next big idea is concrete plans. Quote, think of something you need to do, something you want to learn, or a problem you have to confront. What is it? Now make a concrete plan. When will you follow through on your plan? Where will you do it? How will you do it? Think about it in vivid detail. These concrete plans, plans you can visualize about when, where, and how you are going to do something, lead to really high levels of follow-through, which, of course, ups the chances of success. So the idea is not only to make a growth-minded plan, but also to visualize in a concrete way how you're going to carry it out. End quote. Planning. It's huge. We know it, but do we do it? How about this wisdom from the Powerful Engagement? See the notes to really bring the point home. The authors say, quote, a broad and persuasive array of studies confirms that specificity of timing and precision of behavior dramatically increases the likelihood of success. The explanation lies once again in the fact that our conscious capacity for self-control is limited and easily depleted. By determining when, where, and how a behavior will occur, we no longer have to think much about getting it done. A series of experiments have confirmed this pattern. In perhaps the most dramatic experiment of all, a group of drug addicts were studied during withdrawal, a time when the energy required to control the urge to take drugs severely compromises their ability to undertake nearly any other task. As part of their effort to help them find employment post-rehabilitation, one group was asked to commit to writing a short resume before 5 o'clock p.m. on a particular day. Not a single one succeeded. A second group was asked to complete the same task, but also to say exactly when and where they would write the resume. 80% of that group succeeded. End quote. Wow is the word that's appropriate there, I think. So, as Dweck advises, think of something you need to do, something you want to learn, or a problem you have to confront. Make a detailed plan with the when, where, and how you're going to rock it, and get on that. And P.S., why not make changing your mindset one of your primary projects? What would you need to do to rewire your brain and create a growth mindset? P.P.S. Oh, and when, if things don't go quite as you had in mind and life kicks your butt and you're tempted to give up on your plan, remember this gem from Dweck. Quote, it would be nice if this didn't happen, but it's irrelevant. It might be easier to mobilize for action if I felt better, but it doesn't matter. The plan is the plan. Remember the depressed students with the growth mindset? The worse they felt, the more they did the constructive thing. The less they felt like it, the more they made themselves do it. The critical thing is to make a concrete, growth-oriented plan and to stick to it. End quote. That wraps up our look at this awesome book, Mindset. Let's take a quick look at Carol Dweck's bio. A few of the other notes I think you'd like if you liked this one and some of the sidebar quotes, and we will call it a day. So Carol S. Dweck, PhD, is one of the world's leading researchers in the field of motivation and is the Lewis and Virginia Eaton Professor of Psychology at Stanford University. Her research has focused on why people succeed and how to foster success. She has held professorships at Columbia and Harvard Universities, has lectured all over the world, and has been elected to the Academy of Arts and Sciences. You can learn more at mindsetonline.com. If you like this note, I think you'd also dig the note on The Talent Code, Constructive Living, The Power of Full Engagement, The Pursuit of Perfect, Flow, and The How of Happiness. Now let's take a quick look at some of the quotes from the sidebar. Most of these are from Carol Dweck. I'll let you know when they're not. First, the message is this. You can change your mindset. She says, the passion for stretching yourself and sticking to it, even or especially when it's not going well, is the hallmark of the growth mindset. This is the mindset that allows people to thrive during some of the most challenging times in their lives. She says, it's startling to see the degree to which people with a fixed mindset do not believe in effort. The other thing exceptional people seem to have is a special talent for converting life's setbacks into future successes. Is it ability or mindset? Was it Mozart's musical ability or the fact that he worked till his hands were deformed? Was it Darwin's scientific ability or the fact that he collected specimens nonstop from early childhood? She says, people with the growth mindset know that it takes time for potential to flower. And whether we're talking about Darwin or college students, important achievements require a clear focus, all-out effort, and a bottomless trunk full of strategies. Those with the growth mindset found setbacks motivating. They're informative. They're a wake-up call. People in the growth mindset don't just seek challenge, they thrive on it. In the fixed mindset, it's not enough just to succeed. It's not enough just to look smart and talented. You have to be pretty much flawless, and you have to be flawless right away. And finally, she says, Benjamin Barber, an eminent sociologist, once said, I don't divide the world into the weak and the strong, or the successes and the failures. I divide the world into the learners and non-learners. That is a quick look at mindset. Here's to embracing the growth mindset. I used to live completely stuck in the fixed mindset, and I'm excited to get a little bit more firmly installed in the growth mindset day by day by day, and I hope you are having fun doing the same. Really hope you enjoyed this note. Looking forward to sharing more with you soon. In the meantime, have an awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.